Okay, good morning. Well, let's begin first of all with a word of prayer. I ought to go get my dad and come on down here and be more sociable. Let's begin with a word of prayer that this morning will be that which will be edifying and glorifying to God. Let's pray. What a privilege it is, Heavenly Father, to assemble ourselves for the purpose of worshiping You. Our whole life, Heavenly Father, is designed to be a worship, but how wonderful it is to meet with others as we are encouraged to do and led to do by the Spirit, to worship together, to open the Scriptures, to encourage one another and walking by faith, Father. We pray this morning will be a morning that will be glorifying to Your Son, to You. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, got several things to talk with you about. First of all, in regard to prayer, we have been in Wednesday evening praying for Kim Conley, Dana Reynolds. It's your niece, cousin. Okay, and how old is Kim? 29. Okay, I've been saying 27, but 29. Kim is very close to going home and be with the Lord. Went to see if she'd ask to see me, and of course I was gone, but was able to talk. I went to the hospital yesterday a couple of times when I got back from traveling, and be in prayer for Kim, be in prayer for the peace in her soul and her family at this time. Very difficult, and so please be in prayer for Kim. Also, Thursday evening, Fred Blankenship, I don't know how many of you remember Fred, but Fred's wife died suddenly Thursday night, early Friday, I think it was, and so I'll be doing Danine's memorial service or funeral service tomorrow in McKinney, so please be in prayer for Fred. Fred's gone through quite a lot in the battle. I did his son's service, and now I'll do his wife's, and so please just to be in prayer for him at this time. In our own assembly, David is not feeling well at all, David Smith, so please be in prayer for David at this time. And is there any other prayer requests that need that would come up that we need to make note of? Well, please, yes. Surgery Wednesday. Wow, this has been an ongoing thing for almost a year now. So finally, they're going to do it Wednesday. Okay. So let's be in prayer for Pat Bass Wednesday and major surgery in that area. So please bear that in mind. I really appreciate your prayers in regard to the Bible studying in Arkansas this week. Your prayers were well answered. It was just a superb week of teaching. And I want to thank you for your prayers. And maybe Tuesday, Wednesday we'll go into more detail. But the response to spirituality by faith, by grace through faith, was just really super. Some people are getting ready to about entering in the struggle. Some saw it clearly, and I'd like you to be in prayer for them, because now that they're going to walk into it, walking by faith, they're going to enter into the great realm of the battle. Carol and Ed McGrath, you might remember them as missionaries to South and Central America, and they're going through a lot because they're beginning to see spirituality by grace through faith, which is going to change a lot. If they see these things fully and clearly and then continue in their missionary work, it'll change their message. So please do be in prayer for Carol and Ann McGrath. They've got a lot of decisions to make, so please be in prayer for them. Continue to be in prayer for the group in Hot Springs. We've been in prayer for Irving Hayes, and he's still in the status quo, and therefore the lingering of someone like this is very stressful on the family and Marin, his wife, and his aunt. So please be in prayer for that family and Irving and God, what God is doing as far as all of their lives are concerned. So please bear these things in mind. Now, the Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Jesus Christ, his Savior. If you're here this morning and have never accepted Christ as Savior, offering plate, no issue. If you have accepted Christ as Savior, it is our privilege to give us unto the Lord. It's one of those things that we will do. It's not a matter of the pastor browbeating. It is one of those things that we will do in life. Had some wonderful time of studying, and I almost just decided not to continue the Nicodemus study and go through with some things that opened up this week, but we'll do it at a befitting point, probably Tuesday night, in regard to spiritual love. And what we're going to look at is how does the walk by faith work? In other words, when you tell somebody, they say, all right, what is faith? And I wasn't going to teach this. What is faith? Walking by faith, living by faith. And you go back, you had a faith in Jesus Christ to be saved, and I can understand that. But how can I go on with the activity of my life and still be fainting in regard to trusting the Spirit, and how do these things work? And we're going to take a look at that. It's really beautiful, the things that Scripture points out on how walking by faith works as far as our life is concerned, while we are doing the overt physical activities that we have to do in life, working and social life, and the things that we have to do, and how the undercurrent of the spirit life works when that is going on, what is going on with love and how it functions. So we'll take a look at that this week. But we have a lot of opportunities to be used of God. And one of the things that happens when we're walking by faith in the Spirit is that we will be led to give as unto the Lord. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves by prayer. Father, what a privilege it is to live our life, that it will be, Heavenly Father, a glorification of the person of Jesus Christ and not us. Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to come and to open the Scriptures and to study, to assemble together. But what an added grace that you have seen fit in so many different ways to utilize this assembly. We pray, Father, that you will continue to do so in tapes and some writings and speaking and prayer and money, so many different ways, Father, and we pray that you will just continue to use this assembly, open our eyes to the opportunities that you present before us. And now, Father, we pray that you will receive these offerings and that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Wes. Well, let us prepare ourselves for our study this morning as we continue in the Gospel of John chapter 3 in the confrontation, the discussion between Jesus Christ and Nicodemus. One of the first, we could talk about Jesus Christ and Nathanael, but this is one of the first long discussions and encounters that Jesus Christ had so many of with people. And we're going to be studying more of these, but let's prepare ourselves that we can see what's going on in the discussion, because Jesus Christ, in talking with Nicodemus, a lot of people don't realize that such passages as John 3, 15, and 16 are part of the discussion to Nicodemus, and that's very important. So let's prepare ourselves for the understanding of Scripture and the Holy Spirit opening our eyes that we might see. Let's pray. All right, Heavenly Father, we now move into the severe part of the warfare, and that is opening up of the Scriptures. We have seen over and over, Father, that if we desire to see works and see where man must do something, that the Scriptures are written, well, that's what we will see. On the other hand, Heavenly Father, if we see faith and grace, that we can open the Scriptures and your Spirit will open our eyes that we might see, and we will see it more and more. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray now that your Spirit will be the teacher this morning. Open our eyes that we might get a glimpse of what Jesus Christ is saying to Nicodemus. Get a glimpse of what's going on between Nicodemus and Jesus Christ in this discussion and what Christ is saying. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Jesus Christ is in this discussion with Nicodemus, and we're in the midst of looking at that. What you have to realize is that there are three universes as far as the flow of history is concerned. First of all, there is the universe past. There is the universe past. Now, we have enough documentation in several books. Habakkuk is one of the big ones, and so many things to get a glimpse of what happened in the first universe. Now, in the first universe, as far as the warfare is concerned and the whole spiritual thing is concerned, there are two supernaturals, and one, of course, is God and deity, and the other is the angelic realm. And that's all that we have primarily in the prehistoric universe, in the what is now Earth and heaven. And at some point, Lucifer, who was the night, the bright and shining one, and just to feel the perfection of God's creation, rebelled against God. And he decided that he could be like God and would be like God, and at least a third of the angels agreed with Lucifer, and so there was a great split, because for the first time you had two wills. You had the will of God, and then Satan said, "I will." And once Satan said that, now you have two wills clashing. And when you have two wills clashing, you have confrontation. And so a great power battle broke out. So I'm going to put the word power right here. Great power battle broke out. And God won that power battle, that struggle. That brought about, without going through a lot of things, that brought about the second universe. And this is the present universe. This is the present universe. And here now we have God, and we still have the supernatural beings of the angelic realm. So here is the angelic realm. And then we have a lower creature, and that is man. We have a lower creature, man. And man is here so that the higher creature, angelic realm, can learn some things by watching what man does. Now, that's a very important concept that we'll see over and over through Scripture. You have the angelic realm, which is the higher realm, and you have man, which is the lower. And what we're going to see is that man is going to teach the angelic realm. When we study such things as Jew and Gentile, Jew is the higher realm, and they're going to learn from the lower realm, and that is the Gentile realm. And this type of thing keeps going on in the plan of God and in the picture of God. But what we're looking at now is not a power play. What we're looking at is a great area of wisdom. This becomes the heart of the warfare now that is going on, one of wisdom. And this is why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is so important through human history. Because man thinks that man can understand God. Man thinks that man can understand and work with God and got it all figured out on how God ought to act. And ever since man ate of the tree, he has had that delusion, that deception, that he is like God and that he can think like God and he can enter into this wisdom warfare with God. And what God is doing over and over and over through all of this is that you cannot think. You cannot enter into this wisdom battle with me. And this is why one of the most important journeys that God takes every believer on, the whole story of Job. Job had got all figured out in this wisdom realm. And it won't work. It will not work. And Job finally was brought to that wonderful point, I trust you, God. I trust you. And so we're in this great wisdom battle of man all the way through Scripture, all the way through human history, of man playing this game with God. I'm going to figure God out. I can figure God out. I've got God figured out. And a lot of man's thinking is the very grassroots of law. That's one of the reasons that God gave law. Because man said, we can do this. So God said, okay, here's the perfect system of man's way of thinking. See if you can come to me this way. And, of course, man cannot do it. But what we're looking at is this great battle of wisdom. Now, angel and man get to see this battle. And this is when you have such words as mystery, hidden, those are important words. Secret, revealed, concealed, all of those things from the Old Testament to the New Testament. All of this is very, very important in the spiritual warfare, the revealing and the concealing, as far as the wisdom is concerned. Who's going to see? Who thinks they see? Who really does see? And what do they see? So there's a great battle going on in the wisdom realm. Now, at the end here, I'll just do this, there's going to go back and we're going to have a power battle. Now, angel saw the power of God. Both angel and man are now witnessing this battle over wisdom. But man has not seen the power struggle, and we will get to witness that. And this will be the final battle and end of all of this stuff of history. Then we're going to move into the third universe, and this is the future universe. And this is dealing with the kingdom of God, the heavenly kingdom, in actuality. In actuality, because in the spiritual realm, you and I are living in the kingdom of God now, as we're going to see. So this is going to be the future realm. But right now, this is where we are. And we're dealing with this battle of wisdom and understanding. And now comes, we've covered John 1, that is the first standing, God becoming man. We've studied John 2, chapter 2, we've kind of made a flow through it. And there we saw the calling of the disciples in John 1, and then in John 2 we saw the wedding feast, which dealt with Israel, and then we saw the cleansing of the temple, which dealt with Israel. Now we come to chapter 3, and Nicodemus, if you'll open there, we're going to be doing a little bit of turning some pages here to get into the flow this morning, but let's take a look. We're dealing now in John chapter 1, chapter 3, John 3. And so we have in verse 1, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. Okay, now just stop there. We're going to go somewhere that we're going to go a little later. But I want you to let's just enter this morning and seeing this. Please open to Isaiah 28. Look at Isaiah 28 with me a moment. I want to show you something. Now remember what you just read in John chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 1 and 2. He is a Pharisee. He is a ruler of the Jews. And he comes to him and says, we know that you are a teacher from God. Now look with me at Isaiah 28. The more I go back every now and then and look at things in Isaiah 28, just more other things pop out. Now in Isaiah 28:9, remember, this deals with the coming of the Messiah, which is what we're looking at in John 3. So look what it says. To whom would he, Jesus Christ, teach knowledge? The question here, the point here is, no one. No one's able for him to teach them. They have not made this movement into the spiritual realm, into this wisdom that he can teach them. So this is the exasperation. To whom would he teach knowledge? And as we go through Nicodemus, I want this kind of in the back of your mind. The difficulty in teaching the Jews. The difficulty in teaching even the church. Because if you've got God all figured out, then you're not going to listen to what the Spirit has to say. You've got it figured out. Then it says, and to whom, in verse 9 of Isaiah 28, would he, that is the Messiah, interpret the message? Now, that's all we're going to look at here. Those weaned on milk and those from the breast, that's the Gentiles. Those first two lines deal. Now, turn back with me to John 3. Nicodemus is whom the Lord should be able to teach knowledge. Nicodemus is the one the Lord should be able to interpret the message. But let's get a flow of the trouble, and then what we'll do is come back and look at it and spend more time, a few more minutes than we're going to do. But just the reading. Having coming from Isaiah 28, put this in your mind now. Whom would he teach knowledge? To whom would he interpret the message? What's the problem? What's the problem in teaching? Okay, look at John chapter 3, and let's just read a little bit, and we'll get the flow and see the problem. Verse 2, this man came to him by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, which really is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again. First four people should stop Isaiah 28. How are you going to teach this yo-yo? You're talking about spiritual things, phenomenal things, and this guy's standing there, and this Nicodemus is smart. He's not a smart aleck. He's smart. And he's so ignorant. God can't even teach him. Can't even teach him. He's not even near the wavelength for getting the knowledge that Christ has to teach, that the Spirit has to teach. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel. He should not be marveling. He should be able to flow with this so that Christ can now interpret a lot of these things. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And people, that's powerful because that is you. You better understand verse 8. Because that is you. And that's how the Spirit-filled life works. And we'll come to that. Verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Let it ring in your ear. To whom can he teach knowledge? To whom can he interpret the message? They can't even begin to grasp what he's talking about. Jesus said to him, and we'll stop here at verse 10 because this pulls together what I want you to see at this point. Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? You know, I speak of things even related to the earth and you don't understand them. So you kind of get the seal of Christ from Christ here is, well, who am I going to teach this to? How far back do I take Nicodemus into this understanding, into this battle of wisdom? Because he's not even close. And so we're going to study the journey that Christ is going to take Nicodemus on. Now, what is important is Nicodemus has come to him to talk about the kingdom. And we studied this last week, but let's get the momentum. In verse 3, Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you. Okay, unless one is born from above, and we dealt with the Greek last week, and that's what it means. It means from above. And we're talking about place. He'll come to manner in a moment, spirit and water. But right now, place. Born from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. People, you have to be able, it's one of those kind of deals, this is where you've got to be able to come from in order to be able to see it. Sometimes when we bury people, we say, well, we're going to move their body and move them back home. What are we saying? Place where they, their origin, where they came from. So they go back there. Okay, if you understand what's going on from last week, here's planet Earth, and please get in your mind now, we're talking about place, and this is so important for you personally in your life, in your marriage, in your work life, in your spiritual life. Okay, here's planet Earth. This is one place, and I'll do it like this, and this is heaven. This is another place. Now, you have to be, you and I, have to be born from here in order to go back there when we die and leave planet Earth, or rapture, but let's just, you know, talk. When we die, in order to go, you have to be born from here. You can't go back if you're not from there. So you have to be born from above. I'll put it on the board here. Born from above. And if you're born from above, when you and I die, when we leave planet Earth, we're able just to go back because that's where we are from. But it goes far beyond that. It goes far beyond that aspect of this in dealing with the kingdom of God. It is so important. And I dealt with this a little bit last week. And all the way through here, I want to keep coming back. I want this so pertinent to where you are and where I am in our lives. People, if you want to take care of something inside of you, you're going to have to go to your place of origin. If you desire happiness, if you desire peace, I'm just going to take these two. These are so important to people. And it should be. A lot of Americans, a lot of teenagers, I'm just overwhelmed with the number of teenagers in this country that have turmoil in their soul. And they want to blame parents, and want to blame the world, and want to blame, and all these types of things. I'm amazed at the number of adults who have no happiness in their soul. They may be very wealthy, have everything going for them. There's no peace. And so what we do, we go on a search then. And what most Christians, I'm dealing with Christians, what most Christians do is they conduct their search here. And that's why there's so many books. And that's why counselors and therapists and these people start you on this journey to go back and work with you back, your childhood, the way your parents were, teachers, your husbands, your wives, and on and on and on. And if we can keep breaking through all of this, we're trying to find the solution here. God, people, please understand. I could say this. You don't take your automobile to an airplane mechanic. You take it to an automobile mechanic. Because that's what this is. What is this thing? This is an automobile. Then you take it to an... You don't take your... Drive it to your doctor. Let's say you've got a family doctor. Doctor wants to come outside to see your patient. Doctor gets his little black bag. I don't know if doctors still have black bags anymore, but in my childhood, they had black bags. And when you saw them coming, you ran. Okay. As you knew, there's only one thing in that black bag, a bottle of castor oil, that's it. That's all that black bag is to carry one big bottle of castor oil. Okay. Now, the doctor walks outside, he's got his stethoscope, he walks outside with you, and you say, there it is. Make it run. And they say, what are you doing? Well, I want you to make my car run. There's something wrong with the car, and it will not run. I had it towed here. Just like an ambulance. I had this thing towed here. Are you crazy? I don't know the first thing of an automobile. I'm not a mechanic. I'm a doctor. Now, that's a stupid illustration. But people, it is as profound and as exact to what Christians do when you try to search for the problem of your soul, what's going on inside of you, and try to find happiness and peace, and you go to the earthly search. And we pay good money for this, to have this done. And we're looking for it. And to have them help us. Or you say, okay, let's say it isn't that kind of deal. I'm just going to find these things in the earth. I'm going to find it in my work. If I work hard and if I accomplish things, that will give me this. You're still down here. Well, I'm going to find it in my family. I'm going to find it in my family. You're still down here. I'm going to find it in something. And we keep working at this deal. And what you're doing, people, please. I'm being facetious on purpose because it's even greater than a doctor trying to fix your car. A doctor at least has an understanding of something generally probably about a car. But you're in a whole other realm when you come down here, this place. You come to this place. In other words, you should be at the auto shop and you're at the hospital to get your car fixed. Vice versa. You take your body into your mechanic. You really like your mechanic. He's had your car running so long, and he is such a good mechanic. You found one that's a dream. You don't even tell people about it because you want him always able to take yours at least. So he is good. And you get sick and you run into it. Fix me. You know, put oil down the crankshaft or something. Hey, I'm not a doctor. I'm a mechanic. This is exactly what you and I do when we come to this place, Earth, to solve our spiritual things going on inside of us. Yeah, but it's no. You've got to understand where you're from, what you are. Look with me in this little journey we're going to look at this morning. Look with me at Romans 14:7 for a moment. Who is he going to teach knowledge? To whom is he going to interpret the message? Nicodemus doesn't even have a clue of what Christ is talking about. People, I want you to have a clue. I want you to at least know where to go. I want to tell you the best mechanic or the best doctor or whatever you want, the way you want to look at an analogy. Where is the place that I should go? Romans 14, look at verse 17. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. In other words, things related to this earth. Don't get all involved in all of those things. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Dear people, this is where you're from. You're from another place. You're from up here. You were born from above. Even the law is related to the earth all of the aspects of the law are related to the earth. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not be, don't be this, do this, don't be, all related to the earth. That's why the law can't give you anything. You're not from the earth. Just start off understanding when you think, I want peace, I want happiness, I want these things, whatever it is you may want. I just picked those two, scripturally, because most Christians want these things. Where is the place I have to go? Where is the place that I'm going to find peace? That I'm going to find happiness in my marriage, in my single life, in my social life, where I am in life, all the things that have happened to me in life, this is where I am, but where do I go? And the earth has a lot of answers. The earth has a place for all middle-aged white men, middle-aged white women, teenage girls, this, that, you're this one, minorities, whatever. The earth has the answers for you. And you just keep reading book after book and searching and searching and searching, and people, you're in the wrong place. You're a human being going from auto shop to auto shop. And they just don't have it. They can fix an automobile, but they cannot fix you. They can fix an unbeliever, but they can't fix you. They can bring some happiness to the unbeliever, but they can't fix you. Why can't they? You're not from here. This is why the world hates you. It is in this realm that I got the kickoff on understanding how the spiritual life works in our life. How it works when you and I are doing the earthly things, earthly activity is the way I want to call this. If you and I are doing the earthly activity things, how is the spiritual process working? People, we must understand where we are from. So look at Romans 14:17 again, so I can move on. The kingdom of God, and that's what you are in right now as a born-again believer, is not eating and drinking. It's not the things related to this earth at this point. And the reason he's eating and drinking is because those are the fundamental things that we do to what? Stay alive. To stay alive, you got to eat and drink. So the kingdom of God is not those fundamental things that even keep us alive on planet Earth. But righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Go from there. And we're not going to develop a long doctrine here. I'm just showing you verses. Go with me to Mark. Go with me to Mark, who wrote for Peter. But let's look at Mark chapter 4. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 4. And here we'll just look at verse 11. Mark 4:11. And he said, this is Jesus Christ. This is the one we saw in Isaiah 28 that we were coming. He was going to teach all this to. And he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery, very important word, of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables. They get scripture, but they never see. This describes most churches. They get a lot of scripture and a lot of Bible teaching maybe, but they never see. It has been granted to you, and we'll see why it is to those. But what I want you to see here, the mystery of the kingdom of God. It's a mystery. I know it sounds like this person ought to be able to help me with this problem because this problem relates to my childhood, my parents, my spouse, my ex-spouse, and my financial place, my handicap in life, whatever it is. Now it's a mystery. It's hidden. It's hidden, people. I've learned more and more. I just have no answer for the unbelieving world. I can't give them law. That doesn't help them. Oh, well, give the unbelieving world law so to keep it in order. No, I have nothing. Nothing for them. I have nothing for the Christian. if he doesn't want to trust the Spirit. I have nothing for the world if they don't want to trust in Christ. That's where it begins. It's a mystery. Don't try to make it make sense with the wisdom of man. Nicodemus is like a lot of Christians. It's like the church. He's trying to understand spiritual things from the whole understanding of another place. Material things of how things work on earth. People, you can't do that. Please understand this. You can't do it. But you're not helpless, because the answer is there. If you just stop trying to find it in the obvious place, earth, and go to the mystery. Go to where it is hidden. Now look at Mark 9. Mark had some things to say about the kingdom of God. Look at Mark 9. Well, actually, Christ had a lot of things to say about the kingdom of God in the writing of Mark. Okay. Mark 9, verse 1. Luke has probably the most to say of the kingdom of God. Luke is saturated with it. Mark 9, 1, and he was saying to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who shall not taste death, physical death, until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." Okay, now, this starts your thinking. What did Paul say? Paul said that happiness and peace are what? And righteous life are of the Holy Spirit. Now, Christ says here that the kingdom is coming. It's going to come down on earth, and it's coming with power. What power is that? The power of the Holy Spirit. I feel sorry. I hurt for Christians, those who are saved and are in Christ, who spend their life going to the world, going to the earth, to find the things they want, like happiness and peace and all of these things. And they might find it for a brief moment, and then that doesn't work. They find it here, and that doesn't work. Find it in marriage, and that doesn't work. Find it in success, and that doesn't eventually work. And you just keep looking. Stop it. Stop it. To whom would he teach the message? To whom would he interpret? To whom would he teach knowledge, and to whom would he interpret the message? Let him interpret it to you. And the only way you can do this is to realize this is in the spiritual realm, and I've got to completely trust him to see this. I need a different power source. I need a power source that has nothing to do with this earth. And that's the power source of the Holy Spirit. One more passage, and then we will resume. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God, and dear people, you're of that kingdom because you have been born from above. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, in other words, flesh, things of the earth, but in power. Power. It's not in words. Knowledge. Understanding. This is where people want to go to find it. We're in a wisdom battle. Who has the wisdom? Who has the true, real wisdom? Who's the best heart doctor? Who has the best insight? I'm going to have my heart operated on. I want the best. Meaning, I don't want to insult this doctor over here, but he doesn't have the insight that this one does on some things, and the abilities and techniques and skills. Who has the wisdom? People, the earth doesn't have it. The earth can help the earth. The earth can solve the problems of the earth. But not what you and I have. Not what you and I need. And this is in the spiritual realm. So 1 Corinthians 4:20 then, for the kingdom of God, which is where you are from. This is the place that you're from. Does not consist in words, but in power. All right, let's go back to John chapter 3 now. With that foundation laid, let's see if we can flow through this. And we will begin in verse 3 and move on. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you. All right, truly, truly. Truly, truly. What he's telling Nicodemus is, it's a whole other realm, Nicodemus. You're going to have to come into a whole other realm. It's involved with the truth. And people, I hope whenever you hear and see the word truth, your mind automatically says the truth of the gospel. In other words, God doing it. So he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we spent time with that last week. Now verse 4, Nicodemus' answer. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Your parents sometimes get so exasperated. You talk to your child, and then they come back with something that has absolutely nothing to do with what you're talking about. And you're very serious, and you're trying to make this point, and it is, and they just, you know, boom, they're way out here. And I wonder who won the ball game. What does that have to do with what I'm talking to you about? We're in a serious thing here. Nicodemus isn't even close to what Jesus Christ is saying. You would almost laugh if it wasn't the wisdom of man and the way most people think. Nicodemus, his answer is powerful in the battle of wisdom here. In the battle of wisdom, he has a powerful answer. He's going to the earth, the place of the earth. We're dealing with two places now. You've got to get this into your thinking now so that you can not only follow this passage, but follow your own life. A place. This is a place called earth. This is a place called heaven. And this is very important. This is physical, with all the physical laws. And this is spiritual. Totally different. Not even close. So, we got two different things going on. Now, Nicodemus responds with a little inherent ability of his own. Now, remember where that comes from last week. Remember, look back what Jesus Christ said. He said, unless one is born from above, he cannot. Inherent ability. Impossible. It is impossible. You do not have the inherent ability to see the kingdom of God if you're not from the kingdom of God. You've got to be from the kingdom of God to see the kingdom of God. It is inherently impossible. What does the word inherent mean? You know, your dog cannot be a human being as much as you would like him to be. You know, I don't know why people want their animals to be human beings. It'd be just like all the other horrible people you want to get away from that cause you to run to your dog in the first place. You know, if you turn your dog into a human being, you think that's going to say, no, he'll just be another human being then. Have all the natures of the human being that ran you to your dog. All right. Now, that's inherent ability. Well, this is inherent ability. Nicodemus comes back with a little of his own. And he says, how can? Okay, now people, if you're staying with me on the wisdom battle, this takes us right into it. Look what he asked. He asked, how can? That question should shock at those of you that have been in this ministry for any time. How can? In other words, impossible. This just, that nuclear surge, it just thrusts us right back into the spiritual warfare. And I know some of you get heavy laden to this, but there are so many times that you can see things from different angles, and it just jumps out at you. Now, Nicodemus says, how can this be? Okay, look back with me, Job 15. We're not going to take our whole normal trip, but let's just look. Job 15. Go there with me a moment. Job 15. verse 14. Job 15:14. What is man that he should be pure, or he who is born of man, that he should be righteous? Look back at Job 10. Look back at Job 10:18. 10:18. How can this be? How can this be? 10:18. Why then hast thou brought me out of the womb? Would that I had died and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been, carried from the womb to the tomb. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. And we have other such answers. How can he be pure who is impure? How can he be righteous before God who is unrighteous? How can man be right before God? People, this is the whole answer. Or the whole question of the spiritual warfare of wisdom. How can this be? It's a paradox. This is a paradox. And people learn that God loves paradoxes. He loves them. Only God can do these things. We want certain things, and we go to the earth. You can't find it there. Well, then where am I going to find it? God. God loves paradoxes. He loves handling the things that cannot be. Only God can make the righteous out of the unrighteous. Only God can take me who is born of woman and have me born from above. I can't do that. If that's it, it's over. And I'm left with Nicodemus. How can I be born and go back into my mother's womb again? How can I do that again? You're babbling, Jesus. This just can't be. No, in your thinking, in the realm that you're thinking, it can't be. And there's no hope. You're going to have to enter into a new realm of wisdom. You're going to have to enter into a new realm of thinking. And that is in the spiritual realm. So this is something only God can do there. And how will God do this? Born from above. He didn't say born again. He said born from above. Now, this also involves this whole study. If we want to take a long time through here, and I'm not going to, that's why I read the Job passages. This involves the curse on the womb of woman right from the garden. Right from the garden, the curse. The womb is under curse. Therefore, people, whatever comes from the womb of the woman is cursed. What is born out from the womb is under a curse. Let me answer you this way. Even if what Nicodemus said could happen, let's say that it could happen. We could be born again from our mother's womb. People, it would accomplish nothing. It would accomplish nothing. I would be right back where I was. People are like reincarnation. This is just an a desire. I wouldn't try it all over again. I really blew this one. Let me come back to something else. Maybe I'll do it again better. No. It will not solve anything. It will not handle anything. If I could go back and be born again, I'd be different. No, you wouldn't. I'm sorry. It would not solve your basic problem. Your problem was not your parents. Your problem was not your marriage. Your problem was not the world. The problem was not society. The problem was not horrible people. The problem was not that you were poor. The problem was not that you were rich. The problem was not that you were black or white or oriental or anything else. That isn't it. You've got to be born from above. You've got to be born all over, but from a different place. The womb is under curse. Look at Job 25. Job 25. Job 25, again spoken by one of Job's three friends, but actually are the words of Satan. Verse 2, dominion and all belong to him. He establishes peace in his height. That's the first universe. That's that battle we just saw at the beginning this morning. That's the battle of the first universe, and he won it. He established peace. many numbers to his troops. There's a battle in the prehistoric world. How then can man be just with God? How can he be clean who is born of a woman? Where does that come from? That comes from the curse on the womb. It isn't going to solve any problem. It just isn't going to solve the problem. It's under curse. This is why Satan made such objections throughout the book of Job over and over and over. Anything that comes from the womb of woman, unrighteous, under curse, and therefore there is nothing that can come out from the womb of woman that is going to be honorable before God. It can't be done. Now, this is wonderful. It really is. Because it's at that hopeless place. There is nothing that we can do. We have no choice in this issue but to trust Him. People, it's a wonderful place to be. As long as you want something, and I'll just say with the Romans passage, as long as you want peace, as long as you want inner peace, regard to life itself, as long as you want happiness, and you keep searching down here, you're never going to find it. But the moment you realize, I can't find it here, I can't obtain it here, I'm going to have to rest in what God has done, both on this side of the cross and on this side of the cross, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have to allow Him to do it, then you're on your way. Then you've entered into a whole new realm of wisdom. Now, the curse of the womb is a blessing. It's a real blessing because we realize I can't do anything. It's like the curse on Cain. I was like Christians that get all caught up in the curse of Cain. Oh, boy, what was the curse of Cain? And what happened to him? And the mark on Cain and all this thing. Oh, people, it's a blessing. Do you know what the curse in Cain is? Now, men, nothing against you ladies, but just historically, men have tiled the field. Men, does this sound like a curse to you? What kind of curse is this? Here's a curse. You can't work anymore. You cannot tile the field because it will not yield to you. So here's a curse. You can't go out and plow the field. And you can't plant seed. And you can't bring in harvest. You just can't do anything. You just can't work. I'm not a farmer, but I tell you what, that's a beautiful curse. That's great. I mean, throw my rake up in the air, my hoe up in the air, and, you know, good. What kind of curse is that? You can't work. You're going to wander. You're going to roam, and the world, the earth will never produce for you. What's the curse? It's the curse we have. You can't work for anything. You want anything? Come to me. This is the curse that Cain's going to have for the rest of his life. Cain, I'm going to put you in a position where you can't do anything but trust me. You have no alternative but to trust me. That's the curse on man. You can't save yourself, people. You can't make yourself happy. You can't give yourself peace. You can't give yourself eternal life. You can't give yourself spiritual life. You can't give yourself righteousness. You can't give yourself spirituality. You're under a curse. Hopeless, helpless. What a wonderful place to be. Okay, I trust you. Okay, I'll give it to you. It's a wonderful place to be. And this is part of this whole thing. So nothing cursed can bring forth spiritual life. We're spiritually dead in our first birth. We come from a place of cursing without any spiritual life whatsoever, physical life, but no spiritual life. Because we are from the source of the womb in our first birth, people, we come into this world, we come into it spiritually dead, impure, unrighteous. And this is true of every unbeliever. But I want you to understand something that's also true of every believer when you and I are in sin. When you and I go into sin, we are in the realm of the flesh and therefore totally incapable of doing anything for ourselves. Nothing. We're under a curse. We can't repent. We can't confess. We can't do the sacraments of the church. We can't work hard. We can't just feel bad. We can't yield. We can't do all of these things. Can't do anything but trust Him. And He has to do it all. Therefore, Nicodemus' solution, people, is no solution. Just as most people in the church, it is no solution, since the womb is cursed. So even if we could go back to the womb and we're old, it would accomplish nothing. Reincarnation accomplishes nothing. See? Reforming man. A lot of people want to reform man. And that's what a lot of Christians think the Christian life is. I'm going to make you over. I'm going to reform you. The fruit of the Spirit, we're going to reform you. We're going to use love, and we're going to use the fruit of the Spirit. We got it all down, and we're going to work on this, and we're going to work on this. We're going to make it happen. We're going to reform you. No, you're not. You're not going to. That's not the answer. People want to reform criminals. People want to reform people that have gone through some great adversities in life, great traumas in life. We want to reform. It isn't going to work. It just makes you better. It just makes you a better of the same problem that you are. It will not solve the problem. People, we want to solve the problem. We want to understand what Christ is saying to Nicodemus. So nothing from the womb, from the woman's womb, is going to accomplish anything, but from above, being born from above, will. This is why Jesus Christ used the adverb of place. Nicodemus uses the adverb of place. Note the two places. We have two adverbs of place. Two places emphasized. Jesus Christ used the adverb of place above. Born from above. Nicodemus uses the adverb of place. Womb. He is related to the earth. This is how he sees we're going to solve man's problems. Jesus Christ says no from above. This is spiritual. This is how we're going to solve the problem. People, here's where you're going to solve your problems, whatever they are. I don't care whether you are an adolescent, a teenager, a teenage girl, a teenage boy, 20s, 30s, 40s, PMS, black, white, rich, poor, attractive, unattractive, on and on and on. All the things that the earth keeps looking to solve the problem. And you're just going to go from book to book and search. Here's where you're going to find it. Up here. In the spiritual realm. This is what Christ is saying. So we have two places, resources, flesh and spirit. Regeneration, second birth. Regeneration, born from above. People just say, this is where I am from. I am from the spiritual. I am from above. I have a problem. I'm going to have to go there. It's going to have to be resolved there. It isn't going to be resolved down here. Well, we've got problems. Well, we're going to resolve it by law. We're going to have everybody be righteous by law. By law. You're going to be morally righteous by law. You have a drinking problem. You have this problem as a Christian. On and on and on. We're going to solve it with law. No, you're not. What you're going to get? Let me tell you what you're going to get. You work this way, what you're going to get is a nice Ishmael. Going to look good for a while. Going to look right for a while. Until you see Isaac. By God. Just by trusting God, this is what God gave, this is what Abraham produced. This is the flesh, this is spiritual. This is by works of man, this is by faith. The people, you can bring about an Ishmael in your life. You can bring about an Ishmael righteous life. You can bring about an Ishmael spiritual love. You can bring about Ishmael solution to problems. And people, it's going to look good for a moment. Until you see the real thing. And when you see the real thing, you go, wow. I thought this was good. Look at this. This is Ishmael. In other words, or Isaac. And what is Isaac? Isaac, Jesus Christ. This is Christ. But you're going to have, many Christians have birth, give birth to Ishmael in their life. And for a brief moment, it's going to look good and get some happiness. And then after a while, you realize, this isn't what's wrong. This isn't it. And then you decide to trust him, and pretty soon, Isaac is born out of your life. The righteousness of Isaac, the glory of Isaac, and you go, wow, what a difference. This is the one that God does. This is the one that man does. All right, verse 5. Verses 5 and 6, entering into the kingdom of God, born of the Spirit. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, here Jesus Christ advances from verse 3. Verse 3, he says, see, born from above, now he says, born of water and Spirit. Verse 3, born from above, place. Now he gets to how this is done, born of water and Spirit. Now, also, instead of seeing in verse 3, now we enter. Now he advanced to entering. So he's just keeping advancing if we can follow what Jesus Christ is doing in his answer. All right, let's take a look. Unless one, anyone, Gentile or Jew, Jesus Christ makes this offer to the human race. The kingdom of God is offered to all people, and this is part of the greater work of the church, bringing Gentiles, those dogs, into the kingdom of God. All right? Unless one is born. Second birth, spiritual birth, and it says unless. Now, what will determine this? What will determine if one is born? Our faith. Just trusting. That's the only thing that will determine it. You have, every individual has within them the ability to be born from above. All they have to do is trust God. Trust the one that God sent, Jesus Christ. So how does it happen from our position? It happens by our faith. Born, here is a reference to salvation. People, please understand, your salvation, when you were born by faith in Jesus Christ in the first salvation, when you and I were born again, regenerated, born from above, it was not improvement. It was not improvement. It did not improve you. It did not make you a better person. It's a completely new birth. He did not send us through the body shop where we walked in 100 pounds overweight and looked terrible, and we came out on the other side in perfect weight, perfect hair, perfect everything. My goodness, we're perfect. In fact, now we don't want anybody because we're too good. We went in wanting anybody that would have me. Came out on the other side, I'm so good, I don't want anybody. I'm too good. People, it is not that. Please understand it. So that you'll understand when you are sad and hurt and looking for some answers in life, where to go. What's wrong with my soul? Understand where to go. Your salvation was not an overhaul. It was not improving. It was a completely new birth from above. You're no longer from here. And you know what? Once people slowly realize that you're an alien, as Christ said, the world hates you. But they hated me first. And the reason the world doesn't hate a lot of Christians, dear people, is because a lot of Christians are living just like the world. Why would the world hate them? The world can understand law and live by law. That's why the world and the body of Christ will run to the Antichrist. The Antichrist will have an answer that the world can understand. Law and order, justice, get your comeuppance, individual responsibility, individual integrity, on and on and on. The world can understand those things and run, and Christians will run to it. But all people, when you start talking about grace to faith, and that God has to do it all, and all that we can say is trust Him, you'll be hated by the world as Christ was hated. You're an alien. You're an alien. You don't belong here. A lot of Christians are not hated because we just like the world. We go to where the world goes for our solution. We go exactly where they go. We have their thinking. They go to working hard, making money, accomplishing this, accomplishing that. They go to law. They go to going in and transforming, cleaning out the inside, getting rid of all this stuff, this therapy, all this. We go where the world goes. Why would you be different? I don't care what kind of automobile it is. If it's in an automobile shop, it doesn't look really belong there. But if you walked into a mechanic place and you just saw a car, and then you saw a human being lying on one of the rocks, doesn't belong there. Get it out of here. You're an alien. People were alien to it. This is so important to understand how spiritual love works. This is so important to understand how the life of faith works. While we are in the activity of the flesh, there's something going on. It's a mystery that's hidden to the world, and they can't see it. And something starts coming out from you that doesn't come from them. And they don't want us. They don't want that. And even Christians won't like it. Christians won't feel comfortable around it. They're not doing it by law. They're not doing it by hard work. If you don't look like we want you to look like, if you don't look like Ishmael, you don't want to. You look like Isaac. What did we study in Galatians? The child of the bond servant will always be, the free woman will always be persecuted by the woman of the son of the bond woman. Why? You don't belong here. And people, we're supposed to have Christ start coming from us, out through us. We don't make that, you cannot make that happen. It happens in a mystery. And I'll show you this, it's hidden. And the world, since they can't understand it, they don't want to. You have to be born from another place and realize, so it's not an improvement. It is not a matter of man being bad and sinful and needs to be good. It is not a matter of being ignorant and needs to be rehabilitated. It is not that at all. It is not that. It's a whole new birth. It's a completely new nature, a new spiritual nature. All right, our verse says then is born. This is important. This is a passive. It's a passive voice. Now, why do I tell you that? To impress you? No. I want you to understand is born is passive. That means you receive something. How do we receive anything from God? See, the only way that we receive from God is by faith. You put your faith in Him and you receive from Him, it's passive. That's all. Faith is not active, in other words. Love is active. Faith is passive. All that it can do is receive. Now, people, if you will understand that your birth, let's go from our first, our physical birth. Anybody here have anything to do about it? Did you get to even fill out an application? Anybody? No. I received it. Woke up, opened my eyes, and went, oh no, look where I am. Got a little older. Well, why was I born into this family? I'd like to have been born into that family. Why was I born with this mother and that father and this home and that home and this color and that color and this country and that country? Man, we can complain till we're blue in the face. With nothing to do with it. Now, our second birth, just like that, with one little thing, you can receive it. By just testing. Passive voice, you receive this from God. Then it says, out from the source of water and the Spirit. The reason man needs a second birth is due to the agents. Who are the agents in our first birth, in our flesh birth? Our mother and father. Now Jesus introduces two new agents out of the source of water and Spirit. What are the water and Spirit here? Two members of the Godhead. That God has sent for this purpose. In chapter 2, we have six empty pots. What were they filled with? Water and wine. Remember that? Okay. What did the water represent? The water represented Jesus Christ coming to fulfill all the feasts. The wine represented the Holy Spirit, the new covenant. We studied all of that. Now we have the same thing again. The two standings of God. The water, a reference to the living Word. the living Word, Jesus Christ, born of Christ, the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit. So we have the two again. The Holy Spirit, who is said to what? Give life. He is said to give life, he gives life. In our first birth, two agents, mother and a father. These are agents of flesh. Curse. In our second birth, two agents. Water, the living water, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Both of these apart are agents of our birth. Water here is a reference to the Savior of life himself. Look back at John chapter 1, verse 1. Look with me, go back a moment. John 1, 1. These are the kinds of things we used to take hours and hours for doctrines. By now, we wouldn't have gotten very far, but I want to see if we can get some kind of a flow in our study. John 1, and I'd like you to look, verse 1. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the living Word. This is the water. It's called the living Word. Now look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is life. We have life in him. Look at Revelation 21, please. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 6. Now, Revelation is certainly too hard to find. It's the last book in the Bible. Now, if you have a lot of math and a lot of concordances, you might have to take a minute, but it isn't that difficult to find. Revelation 21, verse 6. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost." The gift of himself. The gift of his own life. Chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let the one who hears say, "Come," and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost, that is Jesus Christ. So the agent, Jesus Christ, the two sendings of God that we've been studying, the sending of his Son, the sending of his Spirit, they are the agents of our birth. Now go back to John with me a minute. I know what time it is. Come back to John with me. John 3. I haven't talked to you all in a week, so I'm kind of, feel like I've been neglecting you. I know you don't want me to make it all up in one afternoon, but John 3:5. Now let's take a look. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless," very important, "one is born passive of water," Jesus Christ, "and the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "he," remember the human race, born of the first birth, "cannot enter the kingdom of God," a place. Verse 6. That which is born. Verse 6 is one of those things that sounds, this is really profound, Christ, but it is. Look, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And people, that's so profound that many Christians forget it. They just forget it. And they think that even though I'm born of the flesh, I'm going to go to the flesh. You're not. People, you go to the flesh for flesh problems. If you break your arm, break your arm, something like that, you go to doctor. This is the flesh. Please don't call me up if you've broken your arm to mend it. Now, if it brings about spiritual problems related to it, it'd be another deal. But I'm just saying, don't call me up and say, "Come and mend my arm." I don't know a thing about mending your arm. I don't want to see your blood, and I think. I'm just not that kind. That's not my deal. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is spirit or spiritual. In other words, absolute existence. If flesh, then flesh. If spiritual, then spiritual. And that's why people, you, born from above, have to understand who and what you are. What am I? I am a spiritual being from another place. I'm not from planet Earth. I am not from here. I am from above. That's where I'm from. I'm having inner problems with peace, with happiness, with myself, with my existence. Where do I go? You're going to have to go to a spiritual solution, people. You're not going to find it in the things offered by the world. The world has some wonderful things to offer if you're flesh. The world can offer success. The world can offer money. The world can offer beautiful things. The world can offer all these things. But if you think they're going to make you happy and give you peace and bring you to where you need to be, you're wrong. You're a human being in an automobile place, and you don't belong there. That which is of flesh is flesh. But people, if you are here this morning and you have been saved, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith only and by faith alone, let me tell you something. You are not from planet Earth. You are an alien here. And when you hunger, you're going to have to not look for physical food. And when you're thirsty, you're not going to have to, you don't look for the water of this earth. And when you hurt, and when you can't see, and when all these things are going on, nowhere to go. You want to go to the spiritual, to what you are and who you are. I mean, how stupid and ridiculous examples do I have to give? A man doesn't go to a gynecologist. You don't belong here. This is the wrong place for you. You're in the wrong place. And dear people, when you go to the earth for these things, you're in the wrong place. And yeah, they'll offer it to you. They'll roar around you. They may take your money. They'll do all of this. And they might even really try, but they have nothing for you. You're in the wrong place. Know who you are. I'm born from above. They're Christians who are just I didn't even realize the extent of it until this week, attacking my teaching, the teaching that goes on here. Heretical, horrible, weird, and I'm teaching faith. I'm teaching Christ. And people, I started to realize, yes, it is weird to them because theirs is worse to the flesh. What they're doing to be spiritual, their list, what they say you have to do, things related to the flesh. And yes, I am a heretic to them, and I am weird when I say trust him. Just trust him. People, sit back. Don't listen to a man, me or anyone else. I don't care what a person's reputation is. If this is who and what I am, then how do you think they're going to live? Like Paul said in Galatians 3, let me just ask you a question. Did you become what you are when you preach in Christ? By the works of the law, by doing something, or by faith? Then concentrate and think. If you're going to live, if you're going to have happiness and peace, spiritual love, the fruit of the Spirit, Christ formed in you, all these things that we're talking about, peace and happiness, all these things we're talking about, do you think you're going to get them by the works of the law, by something related to the flesh, or by faith? The first and most fundamental thing we have to do is realize what I am. This is one of those hard things we try to get kids to as they grow up. Yeah? I'm a girl, I'm a boy, okay then. And I'm this, and I'm that, and on and on and on. I'm too short to play basketball, but this is that. And on and on, we struggle even in this fleshly realm. But people in the spiritual realm, just realize who you are. I'm not of this world. These world things are not going to give me that inner peace, that happiness, that joy. They're not going to give me Isaac. They're not going to give me Christ formed in me. That's spiritual. Has nothing to do with the flesh. How is love described for us in 1 Corinthians 13? It is not. A lot of not. It is not jealous. It does not boast. It is not arrogant. What's being said to us? It's not of this world. It's not of the flesh nature. It opposes those things of the flesh nature. When you're walking by faith in the Spirit, when you have the rest of faith, not faith rest, but when the rest of faith is in the Spirit, you go on with the activities of your life. What happens when you go on with the activity of your life? Here you are, you start off with this rest of faith in the Holy Spirit, and then you go on with the activity of your life without thinking, without making it happen. Spiritual love starts flowing through. Christ starts coming through. Not because you think doctrine, because you think these things. It's a mystery. It's hidden. You're doing the activity that you have to do. You're selling and working and praying or whatever it is. But inside is the mystery that's hidden. Spiritual love is reposing all the things of the earth nature, jealousy, envy, boasting, arrogance, me. It reposes those things, and spiritual love starts coming through without you even doing anything. And when you look back, as you look back on an activity, and you say, wow, I didn't work for that to happen. I didn't work for love to express itself that way. I didn't make that happen. It happened. Thank you, God. It happened by the power of the Spirit. What I did, I had the rest of faith in the Spirit, the Spirit's in power in the secret realm, in the hidden realm. I'm just doing my activity. I'm not sitting there moment by moment saying, now, what's the next thing I want to say? How do I want to act? Well, I don't want to word this. I've got to be careful how I word that. I've got to do this. Now, let's see, love is not this. Now, the fruit is this. You don't do that. Because when we do that, you're making it happen. That's it now. I'm going to make love happen. Spiritual love happen. You're going to get Ishmael. And it may look good. And then you start walking by faith. And pretty soon, Jesus Christ starts coming through. And you don't even know how it happened. All I do is trust Him. And it started happening in my life. I trust Him. People, you don't make this happen. That's the way of the world. Make things happen. Abraham was going to make it happen, so he went to Hagar. They did have a child. You will have a child. But it won't be Isaac. It'll be Ishmael. It'll look good to the world, but not to God. People, what we want coming out from us is Isaac, Jesus Christ. You and I are from a different place. We're not from here. You are born from above. This is the mystery. This is why Nicodemus can't understand all of this. He can't get it down. Because, verse 7, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born from above. Marvel, wonder. This word includes a mystery. Marvel at what is going on. Marvel at what is being said. People marvel that all you have to do for eternal life is to trust in Jesus Christ. Christians marvel that all you have to do if you want a righteous life, all you have to do is trust Him. Abraham marveled when he finally reached the point. All I had to do is trust Him, and look what happened. Isaac is born. It defies the way we think. No, it isn't going to just happen. You are wrong, Herman. It is not going to happen. You want a Christian life, you've got to make it happen. I'm telling you, no! Don't make it happen. I'm sorry, there's no voice. People were from above. He's going to make it happen. Why do you think the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael are there? Most Christians are satisfied with an Ishmael. Please don't be.